And I will start sharing about family, because some of you met our kids when they were, smaller, and they grown. Well, this is our family. We came, Jacqueline, Andres, my wife, Robin, and me came about 5 weeks ago. We came to the States. But we have, Miguel, our oldest son. He's married. He has 4 children. They are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Miguel went to Cedarville to study worship. So he's a worship pastor in a church in Pittsburgh. And they have 4 children. Matter of fact, we didn't know the little one. We met the little one just, a few weeks ago. And we are blessed to have our grandchildren, even though we don't see them very often. But we have also a daughter, Natalia. She is 26 years old. She's single. She's in Elkhart. She's not in Elkhart. She's in Mishawaka, Indiana, next to Elkhart. She is working, and we are proud of her. She bought her house, her first home. And so we thank God for Natalia. And then we have Jacqueline. Jacqueline came with us. She just graduated last December, because our school year is different than here, So it starts in March and ends in December. So she just graduated, and now she's going to be working and getting ready to start studying. So she is in Indiana with her sister. And pray for her. It's not easy. She grew up in Chile, even though she's U.S. Citizen also, but there's a lot of changes. She has to work. She doesn't have a driver's license, so she has a permit. She cannot drive by herself for 6 months. So there's a lot of details and things we need to help her, and we are not there. But we are going back to Indiana in about 2 weeks, and we will be helping Natalia in all this process. So pray for her. And then we have Andres, the little one, the baby. And I didn't like that when my mom said I was a baby. But I say the same thing now about Andres, and he's so patient, because it's not easy. I'll tell you something. It's not easy for the kids to go around churches, visit, travel, smile always, and behave, And I know it's tough on the kids. And so pray for Andres as he grow up, and we are praying and working in his life so he can also one day decide to serve God. That will be the greater joy for us. Well, if we continue, I want to remind you of, if we go to the next slide, we want to remind you where Chile is located. I know you are, it's in South America, and it is this very particular country because it's very narrow, but very, very long. It's as long as the U.S. is wide. So that gives you an idea how long it is, and it's probably the only country in the world that has this type of form, so long and narrow. And it's in the west coast of South America. So when you go to the west, it's the Pacific Ocean. We have a lot of ocean. And if you go to the east, you have these big, big, huge mountains, the Andes Mountains. So people usually ask us about the weather, how Chile it looked like, and it's hard to answer. Why? Because it's so long that it's very different from the top to the bottom. So I will show you a few pictures so you can kind of get the idea how different it is. The north of Chile has the driest desert in the world. Many people think that the driest desert in the world is the Sahara, It's well known, but no. You are wrong. The driest in the world is the Atacama Desert in the north of Chile. And if you see, it's very, very dry. No rain in that area. Very, very little rain. And every time we have somebody coming, because we used to be missionaries in the north of Chile for 8 years, we planted a church. And every time somebody came to visit us, we asked them, what do you think? And when they came out of the plane, out of the airport, and they start looking to the west, they saw the ocean, they look at the east, and they saw the mountains, and their answer always was the same. It's very brown. Well, that's the north of Chile. But when you move south and you get to the central, and we see the next slide, You will see that the central region looked different. Now, that's the capital, Santiago. It's a city of about 8 million people. It's a big city. Most of the 19 million people that Chile has live in the central region and in the south. Not many people in the north because you saw how dry it is. And Santiago is a beautiful city. It's where I grew up. I grew up looking at those mountains during winter, full of snow. And if we see the next slide, I'll give you an idea of how modern Chile is, how modern this city is. And it used to be, I used to say, up to a few years ago, Chile is the most stable politically, economically, and socially in Latin America, you know. But things are changing politically lately, and there are a lot of conflicts we are having politically, socially, and even economically in Chile. It's not growing as used to for some changes, but I am not here to talk about politics, okay? But something to keep in mind that you need to pray for Chile. They are rewriting the constitution, and it's changing a lot of stuff, trying to destroy the family, the concept of family between a man and a woman, you know, and take away rights that we as Christians have. So I praise the Lord that last December that new constitution was rejected. 68% of the population said, no way. But they are rewriting it again. And this December, people have to vote again if they want this new constitution. And I hope that this new constitution is not as extreme as the other one. Something to pray about. So the central region, and then when we go south, you will see the difference. If you want a beautiful place to go and visit, go to the south of Chile. You have these beautiful lakes, these German towns, because a lot of German people moved years ago to that area, volcanoes and rivers. And if we keep flipping the pictures, you will see how different it is, you know, compared to the north. And even glaciers. The next slide, I think, are glaciers. So what a contrast, you know. The north going to the central region, going to the south is very different. But the need in Chile, a spiritual need, is the same. No matter where you are in the north, in the central, in the south, people need the Lord. And it's what we are doing. We've been doing this church planting for 30 years. We've been working in four different churches before. Now we are working in a new city. If we go to the next slide, the city we are working is called, try to say it with me, Rancagua. Ah, there you go. Some of you can, some of you cannot. It's hard, you know. Rancagua is a city that is 1 hour south of the capital, 50 miles from the capital. It's a smaller city, 250,000 people, but many, many little towns and cities surrounded it. So you have over 350,000 people. It's not small. I say it's small because I grew up in Santiago. But for some of you, you know, 350,000 people, it's big. So there is a great need. Not many churches in Rancagua, so we are working in this new church plant with a colleague. His name is Alejandro. So it's very difficult for our people because they get confused. Two Alejandros are the pastors, the missionary pastors. But he is Bravo, and I am Armijo. So they call him Pastor B, and I'm Pastor A. You know, make it easier for the people to differentiate. If we continue moving the slides, that is the place we rent. We don't have our own facilities. I will talk to you a little bit about that. And that is a prayer request, you know, that we need our own place. It's hard to do ministry when you don't have your own place. What a privilege is to have this, and classrooms and bathrooms and everything, and you can do all the ministries in the same place. When you don't have that, you realize how difficult it is. So we rent every Sunday. Our church is growing, and we have a great problem. We have no room, so we are having two services. We have over 200 people, so we have a service at 10:30, and then we have a service at 12 o'clock, meet in the middle of the day. Right now they are, matter of fact, in their first service. So the Lord is blessing. people are coming to know Christ. As we will see in the next few slides, many new believers. Baptisms, we have baptisms. I'm not going to say we have baptisms often because we don't have a place to baptize the people inside. We do it outside, and we have to do it during the summer. So what we do, we wait until we have good weather. We go to a place where they have a pool, and we baptize a bunch of people, you know. But the Lord is blessing, and we have a good number of people coming to know Christ, growing in their faith, a lot of kids, a lot of teenagers, and younger couples. Matter of fact, Robin and I realize that most of the people we work with now are younger than us. You know, you get to that stage in life when most of the people you work with are younger than us. They have little kids. We are grandparents. But the Lord is blessing. Continue to pray for the work in Rancagua, that the Lord will continue to help us to reach people with the gospel. As I mentioned, we emphasize the work with kids and teenagers. We used to be Word of Life missionaries, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with Word of Life, but they are big in camps and working with youth. So that experience, we use it, and every summer we take a bus of young people to this Word of Life camp, which is in Santiago, 1 hour north, and many unsaved kids. And through those teens, then we are able to reach out to their parents, their families. So pray for that. Now, I mentioned, and we will see in the next slide, that we have no, our own building. My wife told me I need to fix a few things there. You know, you can tell my English is not perfect. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying. I hope. But she told me that I need to correct a few things. But I wanted to mention something about the last slide that we just saw. It's about immigration. You know, United States has a big immigration. We have also. So when you have people in Latin America facing difficulties, they go north, they go to the States, or they go south, they go to Chile. And many of them cross through the desert illegally. So we have thousands and thousands of immigrants in Chile, which is a good thing, but immigration always have the other side of the coin. You know, crime is growing in Chile. Big time is one of the greatest concerns that people have. But for us, as missionaries, planting a church opened us a great door, especially during the pandemic when people were losing their jobs and most of these immigrants didn't have jobs. We were able to put money together, buy groceries, make boxes, deliver them, share the gospel when we gave them the food. Several of those families are with us in our church. So pray for this situation, the immigration, that the Lord will help us to see not just people crossing the border illegally, that the Lord will put a burden in not just us, but in our people to try to meet their need. Jesus always did that. You know, when he saw people that were sick, he healed them, but then he shared with them the good news of the gospel. It's what we need to do. We need to help people, but at the same time, share with them, you know, the gospel so they can be free in the Lord. I mentioned, and now we can go, I'm sorry, and thank you for your help, that we don't have our own facility. So where you see the red star is where we meet every Sunday. It's where we rent. Every other ministry, we do it in different other places during the week. But where you see on top the yellow star is where we bought. We were praying to purchase a land. We did. 1.4 acres. It's not very big, I know, but big enough to develop something, you know. And we are excited that we were able to close the property. You know, over there, you need to close the property. If not, people will come in still. So, and we are working closing the front, which is going to be very nice. But this is what we are projecting to do. You know, a multi-purpose room that will seat 400 people, classrooms, bathrooms, a kitchen, you know, a couple offices, everything. So we can function, we can do all the ministries in the same place. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a place that it's not going to be just used once a week, you know, it's going to be used during the whole week with men, ladies, kids, young people on Sundays. So we are very, very excited about this project. Now, how much money are we talking about, you know? Because the Lord is rich and he has everything, but you have to go and raise it. The Lord already provided over $200,000. Now, the property, the land, was $100,000, and we already purchased it. We have $100,000, and the remaining $600,000 we have to raise. Now, with $100,000 more, we will be able to do the foundation and the main metal structure and the roof with $200,000. We already have $100,000. So with $100,000 more, we will be able to have at least a roof on top, and maybe during the good weather, we can meet there. So, you know, we are praying, we are sharing, and I share with you today, you know, if you want to support this project, let us know. You know what? We have prayer cards outside, and we have a form. Some of you might want to receive our email, our updates. You can fill that form. You can get one of these prayer cards, and you can put it in your Bibles or, you know, in a place where you can see it. And every time you see it, just make a little prayer for us and pray that the Lord will provide all the funds so we can have these facilities and we can be more effective. We are not asking for something personal. This has nothing to do with something personal. This is for the work of God. And every time somebody gives to the Lord is doing an investment. I like to call it an investment. Investment in the best place where you can invest, which is the work of God. So pray for us. Pray for us. We appreciate, again, I will say, your faithfulness, praying for us, supporting us. Now I know Pastor Joe and Martin and other people, and you probably knew about this Armijo family we are supporting, and you were thinking, who are these people? Well, now at least you can put the name and the faces together, and now you can pray for us. Okay, let's go to the Word of God. We don't have much time, but God always has something for us. You know, God, Jesus, when he came, and we were remembering Jesus. You know, he came and he was on a mission. He was on a mission, and he took some men with him, prepared them, and when he went to heaven, he sent them to do the mission. Every single Christian is a missionary. I want you to understand that. Every single believer, at the moment you come to know Christ, I received Christ in my heart when I was 17 years old. Many, many years ago. You, I don't know your testimony, but if you know Christ, we've been sent to do missions and share the good news. And we will see in Mark chapter 4, in this passage, we will see Jesus doing the mission. He was working. Go to Mark 4 and go to verse 36. And you will see in Mark chapter 4, verse 36, something very interesting, because it says that they leaving the crowd behind. Leaving the crowd behind. Just have the passage there. Jesus was always followed by multitude of people. Many, many people. Why did people follow Jesus? Well, some of them wanted to listen to what he was saying. Some of the people were following Jesus because they knew he reproduced the food and was able to give them food. They were hungry. Some people were sick and they thought, maybe he can heal me. So different reasons why people. Other wanted the Romans to, you know, wanted to overcome the Roman Empire, and they thought Jesus was going to give them freedom from the Roman Empire. So some of them followed Jesus because of political reasons, but many, many people follow God, follow Jesus. But he always took time with his disciples, took them apart, and used those times to work in their lives. to prepare them for what? For the mission. To prepare them to be more effective in the mission. So we are in a mission, and we are supposed to be prepared by God to be more effective in the mission. Now, when you go to chapter 5, we are not going to develop that passage, but as soon as chapter 4 finished, and you read in verse 1 of chapter 5, we are in the Gospel of Mark, says that they went across the lake to the region of the gatherings. And the Bible says there that when they got out of the boat, something happened. Somebody came and met them. Who? A demon-possessed man. He was naked. He was cutting himself. He was out of control, living at the tombs. And the Lord delivered this man. Matter of fact, when the Lord did that, he was later on in this story, he was dressed. He was in his right mind. And he was sitting down. And he said, God, Jesus, let me get in the boat. I want to go with you. And the Lord said, no, I have plans for you. Go and share the good news with your family, your friends. And he did. You see, the disciples are on a mission. And they are going to work in the life of these men, demon-possessed men. But in between, Jesus had a plan. Working their lives. And what is God going to use? A storm. Because God sometimes uses storms to get you better prepared to do the mission. Now, we don't like to talk about trials and storms. Who likes storms? Nobody likes storms. Nobody likes storms. But God uses storms. So what I want to share with you, and I will have to kind of mention them because of the time, is resources, is that right? Resources that God uses to help us to overcome these storms. So let's start with the first one. First, remember this is happening in the Lake of Galilee. This lake was surrounded by mountains, is surrounded by mountains, is the second lowest lake in the world. So it's below sea level, okay? And surrounded by mountains, which make the weather sometimes to change very fast. And it's exactly what happened here because the Bible says in verse 35 that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. At this moment, no storm yet. Okay, the storm developed later. But verse 35 says that day when evening came, he said to his disciple, let us go to the other side. How can we overcome storms? First, through his promises, the word of God, what he says. And you know what? A lot of times when we face difficult times in our lives, we tend to forget what God says. But what important is to remember what he says. He told them, let's go to the other side. And we just saw in chapter 5 that they did get to the other side. Didn't they? They did. So why do we doubt the word of God when we face storms? Because the devil always whispers. In the middle of the storm, he always whispers to our in our ears, where is God? What he said is not true. You are alone now. He's forsaking you. But we need to be reminded of the promises of God. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivered them. Now, who wrote this passage? David. Now, David knew about storms. He was escaping from King Saul. Saul was trying to kill David, and he was escaping, suffering, persecution. And in the middle of that storm, he knew that the Lord was with him because we can see his promises in the Word of God, and they can sustain us. Now, I want just to say something quickly that is important to remember in this passage. When you read this passage, you see one storm. When you read this passage quickly, you read that there is a storm. But in reality, there are three storms in this passage. And they are linked together like a chain. And always in our lives, happen the same thing. A circumstantial storm can be the loss of your job, can be that you go to the doctor and they discover you have a sickness that might take you to the grave. Every circumstantial storm is followed by an emotional storm. We get nervous, we start sweating, we cannot sleep, we get anxious. And then that is linked to a spiritual storm. Our convictions are being tested. Our beliefs, our faith in God. And that's exactly what is happening here. We will see these three storms. The circumstantial storm, the emotional storm, and the spiritual storm. And in the midst of those storms, we can overcome them, first of all, by His promises. Do you know promises in the Word of God? You know, it's good to memorize. I love to memorize. Every night with Andres, we memorize verses. You know, verses that I memorized when I was his age, going to Sunday school. And they help me up to this day. When I'm facing a difficulty, a verse comes into my mind, and I can say it, you know. So can we survive the storm? Yeah, because of His promises. You know how many promises in the Bible we find? 3,573 promises. 3,573 promises in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Every time you find one, just mark it with your pen and try to memorize it. When you face storms, remember the promises of God. Secondly, His presence. Verse 36 says, leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along. Just as He was in the boat, there were also other boats with Him. And what happened? A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. What happened in verse 36? That they took Him along, but there were also other boats. I'm talking about the presence of God. When we face storms and we have the presence of Jesus with us, in us, that make a big difference. Now, there were other boats. You see, people without Christ also face storms. Christians face storms. Unsaved people face storms. The big difference is that we as Christians have Jesus in our boat. But many people face storms and they have no Jesus in their boat. What a difference. And I can tell you, you know, we are in the ministry and we have to do funerals. And what a contrast when you have to do a funeral for a family that they don't know Christ, and how they suffer, and there's no hope, and they cry, and you do the funeral of a Christian, and they do cry, because it's hard, you know, death is tough, but they have a sense of hope that they will be able to see that person, that relative. So the presence of Jesus is very important, and we have to remember when we face storms. You remember Joshua? When he took the leadership of the nation of Israel, Moses died. Suddenly, Joshua was in charge. That was a circumstantial storm for him, and linked with an emotional storm. He was fearful. He didn't know what to do. And it was a spiritual storm because he started doubting of God's love and care and faithfulness. And the Lord spoke to him in Joshua 1:9. You probably know this verse by memory. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You see what is happening? The Lord is telling Joshua, listen, Joshua, I know you have a challenge that is tough, but listen, I'm with you. And when you face storms, God is telling you, I know you are going through a hard time, but listen, I'm with you. Because God doesn't forsake us. So we have his promises. We have his presence. We have prayer. Verse 38, Jesus was sleeping in the stern, sleeping in a cushion. The disciple woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, at this point, the storm was like crazy. The waves and the wind, you know, the boat was moving like crazy. They were desperate. Their emotions were like storm. And now spiritually, they were doubting. Jesus, you don't care if we perish? Really, you don't care? Now, a parenthesis. We were singing earlier a song that talked about Jesus being the Son of God and men. Jesus was 100% God, but he was 100% man. Don't forget about that. That's very important. He was 100% God, and we will see it in this passage, and he was 100% man. And as a man, he was tired, teaching all day long. When he got in the boat, what happened? He fell asleep. Even the waves and the wind didn't wake him up. The disciple had it kind of move him, Lord, Lord! And he did wake up. But this talked to me about prayer. We can go to God anytime. In the midst of the storm, we can go to Jesus and say, God, I need you now. Develop a life of prayer during the storm. Talk to him as your father. As Jesus used to say, you know, Daddy, when he talked to God. Prayer is important. And you know, usually we grow in our prayer life mostly in the midst of the storms. When things are calm, we forget sometimes about prayer. But when things are tough, we look up and say, God, I need you right now. And listen, he listens to us. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Do you believe that? So ask. Knock at the door. God always will open and listen and answer you. Fourth, his peace. He was sleeping. You know, when storms in life shake our lives, shakes our emotions and our convictions, God is at peace. God is in control. And his peace can be our peace. Really, you may ask. You remember what Philippians says in chapter 4, verse 6 through 7? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Now, we know about prayer and petition, but then add with thanksgiving. A parenthesis. Do we thank God enough for what he does? We pray and petition a lot, but we are bad many times to thank God for what he does. This verse reminds us of being thankful. We need to be thankful. But with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we go to the Lord, says Philippians, Paul to the Philippians, and says that we have to present our request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Because when we face storms, our hearts and minds are struggling, you know. But God can give us peace. Fifth, I have 20. No, I don't have 20. And I know you are hungry. I'm hungry too, so. But I want to talk a little bit about his power. Because as At the same moment he wake up and he get up and he saw the waves and the wind, now he will show us he was 100% God. He was 100% man. He was tired sleeping, but he wake up and he rebuked the wind and rebuked the waves. And the Bible says that it was completely calm. He get up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, "Be quiet, still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. The power of God. We have a powerful God. He can do anything. There's nothing impossible for God. Now, you might have a little storm, and you might think, God doesn't care. No, he has power for your little storm. He has power, enough power for your big storm. He has power. Your storm might be some relative that doesn't know Christ, and you've been sharing the gospel with that person for years, and you tend to think that it's impossible. He will never change. She will never change. No, God is powerful. So continue to trust in his power. He can move any obstacle. His power. In this gospel, we see his power over nature here. We see in this, the book of Mark, his power over demons, chapter 5. We see his power over sickness or sick people many times in the book of Mark. We see his power over death, chapter 5. Jairus, his daughter died, and the Lord raised her up. The power of God has no limit. Finally, I want to talk to you about the last resource we have when we face storms is his purpose. Why is God putting us through this storm is the question we ask. Usually we ask, why God? Why me? Why my family, God? Well, there is a purpose. And the Bible says in verse 40, we are in Mark chapter 4, verse 40. He said to his disciples, you see, he rebuked the wind, now he turned and is looking at his disciples. He's rebuking now his disciples. And he's telling them, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Now they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. What is Jesus doing now? Now we understand why they went through the storm. There is a purpose. The faith of the disciples was small still. And to be effective, they needed to grow. So we are on a mission. We are on a mission, you and me, and the Lord wants to grow you. He wants to grow your faith. He wants to make you stronger in order for you to be more effective as a witness for him. And the Lord did it with him, with them. They were terrified. Before they were terrified of the wind and the waves. Now they are terrified of Jesus because they saw the great power he has. So I want to encourage you this morning that there is a purpose for storms. First Peter talked about this. Compare our faith to gold. And gold is being purified by fire, always. If you have a piece of gold that is not pure enough, you put it through fire, and the fire will purify the gold. And our faith is being tested, says Peter in his first letter, in the first chapter, just like gold, in order for us to be more pure. So let God, in the times of trials and storms, purify you and prepare you and make you stronger and make your faith stronger. Because I will tell you something. The disciples knew Jesus before the storm and knew a different Jesus after the storm. Usually after the storm, we can see the dimension of God and we grow tremendously in our faith. Are you facing a difficult time right now? I hope this encourages you. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow down our heads. And as you pray, pray to God right now and say, God, I need you. Remind me that you don't forsake your children, your power, your peace. I need your peace, God, right now, because my soul, my heart is shaking like the disciples were. Give me peace and help me to resist, because I know you have a purpose. Pray and say, God, I know you have a purpose, and I know my faith is being tested, but will be stronger, and I will be able to be more effective sharing the good news of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and sorry for the time. Remember, we have prayer cards, and if you want to receive our emails, you can fill the form, okay? God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor, for sharing that very encouraging message with us today. Pastor will be here if you want to speak with him, ask any questions about the ministry, and I encourage all of you to learn more about it so that you could pray more effectively for their work. And as God touches your heart, to be maybe active in other ways in their ministry, and I'm sure they'll give you opportunity to do so. We now just want to close today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your power. Thank you, dear God, that you create storms, but you also create, dear God, the way through them. And through it, we learn about you. So we ask, dear Lord, that you would continue to manifest yourself to us in a way that exposes us, dear God, to your greatness and your glory, so that we can see nothing is too hard for you. Lord, we love you, and we ask all of this humbly in Jesus' name.